This is a spiritual reading being given for Dominique Oyston on Saturday, the 17th of September 2022, in Victoria, Australia, by John Rawson. We stand within the hall of memory. The book of the soul is given into our hands. The book of the soul, Dominique, is a metaphor. It represents the incarnations of the soul since it first descended from the spiritual realms in splendor so many thousands of years ago. Now, the book contains the records of every incarnation, including the current incarnation. But the cover has its own story. It depicts the purpose, the original purpose of the soul, the original, individual characteristic of the soul when it first descended into incarnation. And the cover depicts this in three ways. Firstly, it has a colour, and the colour is blue, and it radiates out from light blue at the centre to deeper blues at the edges, and indicates that the soul didn't choose to come into incarnation really of its own volition, but was sent into incarnation round about the late Lemurian period. And the soul was sent with the mission to remind souls who'd already incarnated of the spiritual worlds. And so in your soul body of those days, which was like a sphere of light, you would hover over the embodied souls who were in bodies something like really a plant anchored to the ocean floor through a stem and through roots, a root system. And you would hover over these, and when you hovered over the incarnated soul, the embodied souls, then they would remember for a time their spiritual home and where they would return. So you came into incarnation, you were sent into incarnation with a spiritual purpose, and it wasn't intended that you yourself would become part of the embodied race of humanity. But in the Atlantean period, you were in spirit, soul was still in spirit, and it was attracted into incarnation through, through a connection with another soul. And the only way to express this connection was to take on a body, a physical body, so that you came into incarnation for the first time in the early Atlantean period, and that was later than, quite a lot later. So you haven't been in incarnation as long as many other souls. And the cause, or that which caused you to come into incarnation, we could broadly describe as sex. And I don't just mean sex as a physical expression, I mean sex as the force that brings spirit into matter and engenders family, connection, and something like a tribal consciousness in those days. So that you came into incarnation later, and ever since then, in a strange way, you've been fighting against the sexual forces of I don't really quite have the words for this, but English is very coarse in the words that I would like. The Greek, for example, would say that the force of eros, which encompasses physical sex, but also the longing of one soul for another, brought you into incarnation and brought you into creating for the first time in Atlantis other human beings, family. And ever since then, you've had a strangely conflicted relationship from one life to another with, on the one hand, the longing for spiritual consciousness and awareness, and the need to embody the soul into family, culture, almost tribal links as well. So we will probably see this pattern embodied in the other incarnations, and no doubt it's emerged in some way in this life as well. That, so that the blue colour explains the original purpose of the soul. But to come back to the Book of the Soul again, there is a second attribute of the soul that is displayed. And that's a name. The soul has an original name. And as I see it, it's written in gold across the book. And it's not in English, but as best as I can translate it or put it into English, it translates as the pure in heart, or perhaps the pure in mind, which indicated that when you came into incarnation, you were drawn into incarnation in the very first instance out of the purity of your heart, and from life to life, you will want to express, or you'll be attracted again to purity. And sometimes it comes in religious incarnations, where perhaps you've been a nun or a monk, or involved in a religion in order to establish a connection with the gods or the goddesses to some extent. But there's an innocence there that at times in different lives is taken advantage of, that no matter how wise and how insightful you may be, that you may not be aware sometimes of the forces of the earth, of earthly consciousness that are going on around you. In some incarnations you have been, as Reverend Mario would put it, too spiritual to be of any earthly use. So this incarnation, and we'll come to this incarnation shortly, but this incarnation is about being of earthly use. And yet there is still the conflict that the soul is attracted towards something beyond earth, beyond earthly use, and at the same time has to cope with all the earthly needs, the needs of material existence, of relationship, of children, of family, of making a career, of financing your life, of finding a home, and all this sort of thing. So the title, the name of the soul, the pure of heart or the pure of mind, is the second attribute of the soul. Then there's a third attribute, and I'll just mention this briefly. It sits in a circle in the center of the cover, and it is a dove, white dove, carrying in its beak a small olive twig. And the dove represents on one level, it represents peace, of course. So that what is at the core of your heart is the desire for peace. But peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the integration of conflict into the soul in such a way that that which was negative and painful becomes transformed into that which is giving and loves. So that from incarnation to incarnation, there's been the struggle that you have to convert the difficulties of life and karma and the vicissitudes, the pains of incarnation, that you have been asked to transform this into love within the heart, so that the power of peace can emanate from you. And I think that's probably been important in this incarnation as well. Now we shall open the Book of the Soul, and it opens to this incarnation. And here the soul depicts itself. It allows us to see something of its nature, the gifts and abilities that your soul brings into this incarnation, which you have worked on and developed. And that's on the right-hand side. The soul paints a picture for us. On the left-hand side of the open book, the soul describes its purpose for this incarnation. Now, on the right-hand side, we'll begin with the picture of the soul. And the soul depicts itself in the colours of the human aura. And as we see them now, and they change from time to time, especially when you've had life-altering events, the aura colours can change significantly. Normally, though, the first colour doesn't change very much. It's rare that the first colour changes. And the first colour, as we see it at the moment, is light red. Light red with some greys within it. The second colour, green. That's an interesting combination. Don't often see light red and green. And the light red is the vitality of life itself. You have light red as your first colour, you should be able to express warmth, vitality. You should be able to embrace other people. It's great for a performer, for example, because it means that that individual can reach out and embrace the audience or the listeners in your case. But the green, although it has a connection here very much to music, is also, and especially in this instance, is a sense of dissatisfaction, as though life is never quite enough for you, that no matter what you achieve within your life, you feel somehow that you've missed out or you're missing out, and that there must be something more that you can do in order to bring fulfillment into your life. Then on the outside is a third aura colour, are clouds of deeper blues. These are not really a third colour, but they indicate that probably in the last few years, about 2 to 3 years perhaps, because they're quite dark blues, you've experienced a passage of darkness within your life. Dark night, as St. John of the Cross calls it, although I don't think it's a dark night of the soul precisely as he meant it, but it means that you've had to experience being let down, disillusioned, disappointed. These are the parts of the dark blue, as though life hasn't come up to your expectations, and what you thought you were going to do and be is it's as though you're walking through a fog or a dark mist, and you can't see clearly what it is that you need to do and how you need to handle things in life. And the positive aspect of that is that when we come through that, we come through and through life into a much clearer period. And it's interesting that in the last couple of years, you've been going through a period of change and reevaluation in your life, especially of relationships. And that would mean your primary relationship with your husband or your primary partner. But it also is your relationships with your children. And it is also your relationships with people, if you're in business with people, or your business relationships with other people, students, business partners, if you have any, those who you connect with and make personal relationships with. And it's been a really difficult period, I think, since probably 2021, and you are going to come into a much easier period as we move into 2023, I would think. There has been a huge upheaval working within the life. And what I have is sort of, if you want to put it in a form of an image, it's the image of the soul digging in a graveyard and digging up the old and what's been buried or you hoped had been buried and passed, and finding that you've actually had to go back and disinter things that you thought you'd finished with, and things coming out, I was going to say coming out of the closet, but that's not quite the right expression, skeletons coming out of the closet that you knew were there but you had repressed or pushed away. And so having to encounter life events that would jump out at you and hit you unexpectedly and cause a lot of upheaval on the emotional levels in particular. Now, that's almost finished, actually. It's from now, just about now, and especially from early October this year, you're going to find that a lot of those negative energies, those negative thoughts, thought patterns that reside within us, that you are going to be able to get rid of them for good. And it's not that you haven't done a good job in dealing with them, but I would think that they're not quite dealt with as yet. That there is one more turn of the screw as Henry James would say. And the last of this, you'll be able to flush out of your system between October and early next year. There's still one more episode or phase to come of this emotional upheaval. But what it will do is leave you much clearer. And this energy would have affected your home, your career, your work in the world, and you would have, I don't know whether you've moved home or changed, but there would have been a huge status change in the home situation and also in the career. And probably whatever you're doing in the career wasn't working very easily for you. But next year and the year after and the coming up are going to be much more fruitful years career-wise and more peaceful experiences within the home life. So that's the blues. From the shoulders, oranges. Here indicating your a great thinking mind and an inquiring mind, someone who's not willing to accept dogma and what other people tell them, but someone who wants an original vision of their own. Within the head, yellow browns. Actually, that's a really good colour there because it says that you have the capacity to organise routines and to sort out life in a reasonable and rational manner. Doesn't always happen, but you have that ability. And since you've asked about writing, yellow brown is a very good colour for writing, but what you need is not so much writing skill, you need some inspiration, and I'm able to tell you that that's also on its way. The vortex, what we call a vortex, the energy that's entering into the psyche at present, is a light yellow, which represents ideas and thoughts. And not this year, but actually 2023 and 2024 are wonderful times to write. So I see that you've got the question about that, and yes, you have at least a book in you, and possibly it might work better for you if it's written in collaboration with at least one other person, or perhaps other people, because the light red, which is the primary colour, the first colour, works better in collaboration with other people. The vortex, which is the light yellow, indicates new energies coming into the thinking, into the consciousness. And since yellow represents intellect, intelligence, concepts, ideas, finding one's truth, and anything to do with communication and feeling better about oneself, being more reflective and seeing yourself in a more positive light, these are all great assists to being creative in the writing area. And not just books, by the way, courses, seminars. And with all that green, by the way, I'm a little bit surprised that you don't travel more. I suppose no one can travel with COVID around, but I could see you taking tours of people. I'm not quite sure where to, but definitely overseas, not around Australia so much, but taking small groups to visit places, perhaps places of culture or places of art or historical significance in England and in Europe. Light rose, as little clouds on either side of the head. Not a full color, but just little clouds of rose, which is artist insight, intuition, sensitivity. Greens around the hands. That's an interesting color. That's usually found around the hands of people who are artists or paint or are creative in the garden or work with plants, flowers, vegetables. And if you've got that color, I would definitely plant a garden and spend some time working with the soil. Because apart from anything else, it's a very grounding and healing experience. Browns around the feet and legs, which indicate that you can move in a practical direction. Although you have the idealism of the blues and the light rose and the yellows coming in, these are the more the lighter idealistic colors. You're very capable of bringing the ideals into physical realities. The cosmic colors, as we see them at present, light blues above the head, and light reds below the feet. And the cosmic colors are not part of the aura per se, but they are gifts from the spiritual worlds and indicate opportunities coming into your life. The light blue represents spiritual insight, and the reds represent a task which will be given to you, an activity, an occupation. Work that you have to undertake in order to advance and take the next step in this incarnation. The symbol of the Oversoul hovers about 4 inches above the head, and as we see it at present, it's quite a complex image. First of all, it's a throne, a very grand, beautiful throne, and hanging or suspended in mid-air above the throne is a crown, rather like the Crown of England or the Crown of Scotland. It's that sort of shape crown, and it's just sitting there in mid-air. Then we see you coming towards the throne, and you've got this ermine cloak on, and clutching at the cloak are two beings like little children, and they're holding you back, so that you want to move towards the throne, but you're being held back by these energies that manifest as children. And the symbol of the Oversoul indicates the life process that you're passing through, and we will come to explain that a little bit later. Symbols in the aura. On the left-hand side, you are walking down an old Victorian street at night, lit by gas lamps. So that represents an image from the past. It's an energy within the aura that still affects you at the moment. Then in front of you, we see 3 lilies standing on a single stem, and one of the lilies is broken. It's falling, hasn't fallen off, but the stem is broken, so it's looking down. And that represents the energies that you're confronting at present. And then in the future, very simple image, is a pathway with a sun, a stylized sun sitting across it, which is a future energy. The left-hand side of the Book of the Soul represents the purposes of the soul. And as we see it, as it's presented to me, it's like a little verse, and this is the verse as I see it. Made, I'll say that again. Maiden, mother, wisdom. First line. Maiden, mother, wisdom. Finding freedom, second line. And then the third line reads, Mother Morning, MourNing, I should say. Mother Morning burdens placed. Mother Morning burdens placed. And the last line reads, Wisdom comes. When all is released, wisdom comes when all is released. That's quite complex. And it indicates different phases of your life, so we will return to that a little bit later on. Sometimes there's a title, but in this case I can't see a title. There may be one when we come back. Well, let's focus on the questions that you've asked for the moment and see what that calls out from the soul. The light red, which is the first color, has almost an uneasy relationship with the greens, which is the second color. And the light red, you see, wants to be free and yet wants to express itself paradoxically through relationships with people, physical relationships, love relationships, friendships, all these sorts of relationships. It's not, interestingly enough, a very motherly color. It doesn't necessarily mean that you'll forge easy relationships with children, and the relationships that you have with your children are karmic. That's what binds your children to you. That, in one sense, although you love them as a mother, it's I'm reminded of a scene from the comedy Frasier, where one character says, "Why is it so easy to love our family and so difficult to like them?" And I think that many of us find that we have, because we have strong karmic relationships with children, our children, we sometimes find it difficult to deal with the dynamics. And the first incarnation that relates to this is in the 14th century, where I see you as a queen, I think, or certainly a noblewoman in Navarre. That's the name that's given. I think that's a province or province in France somewhere. Perhaps it's the south of France. But there you had a relationship with a knight, travelling knight. He was a what now we would call a troubadour, a trouvère. And his name there was Jean or Jean. And although you were married, you had actually had a sexual relationship with him, and you had a child with this person. The knight Jean left you, and left you with having to look after this other child. And I think that in this incarnation, that Jean is one of your children, and I think it is Liam. And that there's a relationship between you that is, well, I'm sure it has been resolved now, but you needed to resolve it in this incarnation, because there is the relationship would be one of almost infatuation, perhaps on your part, and yet distance, so that you couldn't, even though you loved this child and you wanted to protect them and you wanted to be a mother to them, that you couldn't actually, you couldn't always be with them. So that there was a distance, because in the incarnation where Liam was a troubadour, there was a distance between the knight and the queen, and it could never be resolved. And in the 14th century incarnation, he walked away from you. And you might find that he walks away from you in some sense in this incarnation. And in this life, he would need to be independent of his mother and establish himself in other relationships and work through his own karma in terms of relationships with other people. And I suspect he's going to have some very interesting relationships in this incarnation, and very intense relationships with other people. But there's also a need for him in this incarnation to build something within the life. Interesting that in the Troubadour incarnation he was very good with language and also a very good singer. But that doesn't always follow from one incarnation to another. It's interesting that in this incarnation you have the gift of song, whereas Liam or Jean had the gift of song in the 14th century. So it's as though the gift of song and singing that he had is now yours. So Liam in this life may not be either interested in singing. He might have a beautiful voice, but he might not be interested in expressing it because he's already done that once. Rather, in this incarnation, his purpose may be more connected to creating reality and permanence and stability in relationship with other souls. So if you understand this about Liam, that gives you a place to come from, where you no longer have to be the queen who's superior, you know, I'd have to be the lover, where you're holding on to him with bonds of love. And by the way, I suspect that the child that was born from that union probably is the soul who reincarnated as David in your present incarnation. And that would have been an interesting dynamic between David and Liam, and also a struggle, I think, for David with, in one sense, is an incredible love, but also a reaction and a rejection that probably would have ended up in, if it wasn't resolved, would have ended up in him probably walking away or going somewhere else in this incarnation. The Greens. Connected here not so much with music, although obviously your music is incredibly significant in your life, but here related to healing and especially to temple in Egypt about 4000 BC. Here you're associated with a particular goddess whose name was Bass or Bess or Bat, but who was a sort of a mother figure, and the temple itself was to do with healing, and here we see you as a priestess within that temple. The temple attracted many souls who had been disabled, if I can use that word, they'd become dysfunctional in the Atlantean period. And one of the functions of the priest, the healing priests and the priestesses in the Egyptian temple, was to reassociate the soul with the physical body, because the negative forces in Atlantis had created a disconnect so that the soul could neither return to the spiritual worlds, the higher spiritual worlds, nor could it incarnate into a physical body. It was held in a sort of a limbo. And so that you used your voice in chanting and singing, and you would accompany yourself on a thing like a little tube that made bell-like sounds when you struck it with a piece of metal. And through the voice and through the singing, you were able to bring souls into physical incarnation. They were able to be associated with a physical body. And although they had been born, that is, they'd been able to achieve a birth, the soul, because of the disconnect, was not able to control the physical body. So that the you were working with people who had no consciousness. And so you brought into the such people, you reconnected the soul, so that not only did they have consciousness and awareness, they could become individuals and independent within their lives. And it was like a waking up to them. Now, the individual that you brought into, that in this age, in this incarnation, is your son Riley, was one of those whom you healed in that life. But you weren't able to completely heal him, Because in the midst of the healing, you were interrupted. There was the temple itself was sort of was in the desert. It was quite a long way away from the city. It was closest city would be Thebes, and the temple was outside Thebes in a desert area, and the new pharaoh sent soldiers from Thebes to take possession of the temple, and the soldiers arrived as you were in the process of healing the soul, and they took you prisoner because the pharaoh wanted to close the temple. It's a complicated, complex situation, but it's to do with politics. And so the soul that you know as Riley was never quite healed. That is from incarnation to incarnation. The soul sort of comes in and out of the body. And when that happens, there is a difficulty in becoming fully functional. And although many incarnations Riley's had where this soul has been able to incarnate, because of certain energies coming into the world in the 20th and 21st century, the soul is not able to make a proper connection at this stage with the physical body. Now, he's young, and he's with you because you need to complete the healing process that was begun in Egypt. And perhaps the best way that you can help the soul heal, because the healing has to be done by the soul, starts with acceptance that Riley is who he is. And then you encourage him to feel good about himself, to discover what his gifts are. And they may be quite different from the gifts that you would, as a mother, like to see in your child. They may be quite different. But nevertheless, Riley has got great talents that should be expressed in this incarnation. And in years to come, he's probably going to be quite intellectual and almost academic. He's going to go into something in his 20s that involves a great deal of study and a lot of grounding. He might end up in the medical profession, he might end up in something associated with hospitals and work working with institutions, or working within institutions to assist other souls in their own healing. Incarnation in round about the 7th century in Iceland, I think, I think it's Iceland. associated with the Vikings here. Is it the Vikings? Oh, yeah, we'll say the Vikings. Associated with a tribe that's very well, very like a Viking tribe. It goes out, it makes war, and you're in a female body in this incarnation, and here you sworn to the goddess, not Freya, because that would be the goddess of love, but you're sworn to the god or the goddess of war, and the word that comes to mind is shield maiden. And as I see you, you've got armor on, you've got a shield in one hand, and you're hitting it with a metal baton or something like that. Virgin in that life, never married, had to remain celibate, and you were part of the worship of the goddess of war, and your work was to empower the warriors so that they would go out and be victorious. And interesting that there's another incarnation in Greece, in the temple of Athena, in, of course, Athens. And here again, a priestess associated here with the altar, with the liturgy, with the chanting, the rituals, the drama, singing the sacred hymns, and again, virgin in this incarnation. Now, it's interesting that the two incarnations that I see here are both associated with the female, the feminine, as warrior and fighter. And you've asked what more can come out of the soul. And this is what I would see, Dominique, is that it's time to move on from fighting. It's time to move on from being the warrior goddess. These are the feminine, as you know, takes so many forms. It's the maiden, it's the mother, it's the female warrior. There are many forms of the feminine. And I'm sure that you have experienced them all. But what is important is that the feminine changes. It never remains the same. You don't remain a maiden all your life, or a mother all your life, or a warrior, a career person all your life. And see, you've been expressing the warrior aspect in building a career, in fighting for what you believe you should have in this life, in fighting against forces that you feel are attacking you. But you see, the fighting is actually opposed to your deep soul nature, because your soul longs for peace. And what you have thought is that you have to achieve peace through war. And I'm not saying that there's not a truth to that. We have to stand up for what we believe in. We have to stand firm at various points in our lives, and this has been good. But you are coming to the end of that phase very soon. In fact, by the end of this year and beginning of next year, you're going to move into a totally different phase of life. Well, not totally different. It's going to evolve very naturally, very easily. Let us move for a moment to some of the symbols in the aura. the little verse that talks about purpose, and here's what the soul wants to bring into manifestation. And it starts off with the three forms of the feminine: the maiden, the mother, and wisdom, Sophia, if you like. And you've experienced being the maiden, that's that next line. The maiden, when you are in the maiden phase, what you value is freedom. And when you were in that phase, I expect that you thought the world was your oyster, that you could achieve anything. Or perhaps the people around you said, "Dominique, you can go out and conquer the world, you can achieve anything that you like." And then suddenly you move into the mother phase. And that, I think, came on almost unexpectedly. And when you move into the mother phase, you lose the freedom, because all of a sudden you have obligations that you cannot release yourself from. And so, in some ways, the mother is quite difficult with what the constellation of karma that you have within your life, quite a difficult experience. And yet, in the end, I think it will be extremely fulfilling for you. Now, part of that mother phase, alongside it, is the opposite. And in the ancient world, one could either go from being maiden to mother, or from maiden to warrior priestess. And I think that you find yourself, or you found yourself, almost split. On the one hand, you know you have to be this mother figure, but on the other hand, you also manifest, feel you need to manifest the fighter, the warrior, the person who conquers. The Greek goddess of victory, Nike, was a woman after all. So that there are these, the feminine as victory, the achiever of victory. And this is important too, that you've had to fight, you've had to win. And yet, when we hold on to an aspect of self, and that's all this is, it's an aspect of self, it prevents us from moving into the next aspect. And the next aspect is the wisdom aspect. Now, we are coming to the profound symbol of the Overself. But the purpose of the soul has been to experience the feminine in all its forms, every form. Maiden, mother, warrior, goddess, and finally, finally. That's what needs to come out of the soul. What is it in finality that the feminine expresses? I'm going to go a step back for a moment, because we're looking at now the images in the aura on the left-hand side shows you walking down a lamplit street at night in Victorian London. And what are you doing there? You are walking home at night. You are a governess, and the children, or the family that you work for, treat you very badly. You're no more than a glorified servant. The children, a boy and a girl, treat you very badly as well. And this is a very unhappy existence, and eventually you leave and you take up nursing, which is an interesting career change, and you eventually die on one of the many, in fact you die in, I think, at the end of the 19th century, on a battlefield somewhere in Crimea or something like that. So this incarnation, you needed to bring all these things together. You need to bring together the teaching, which is the governess, the boy and the girl, the care of children. You wanted to have another go at that, and so you have. And then the healing, not in a physical sense this time, but through the gifts and the talents, because in the life as the governess, you had a great artistic talent, by the way. You could paint beautifully. But being a woman, you couldn't express that, so that was buried. But it's come back to you in this life because you gave it up as a sacrifice. It came back as magnificent musical talent. And it's gone further in terms of a vehicle for teaching. So that's the image on the left. In front of you, the broken lily. And that indicates that one of the lilies is broken. That's the past. That's the May. That's in its past. The second lily is still flowering, but its time is coming to an end. That's the mother victory goddess, war goddess phase of your life. And you're coming to the final lily, and that's the lily of wisdom. The symbol of the over-self portrays this extremely clearly to me. The throne and the crown is the throne and the crown of wisdom. And you know that you're going to go there, but although you've prepared for it, which is the long ermine train that we see being dragged down by these two little brats, so to speak, there's stuff dragging you back. And the small children there don't represent your children, they represent all the niggles and pests of daily existence, of having to make money, of having to contend with personal conflict, of having to cope with argument and strife and dysfunction within life. And that's true. These things do drag you back. So how are you going to cope with this? Well, the answer is surprisingly simple. Drop the cloak. Let the cloak is your glory, your achievement, your sense of self and importance and significance and achievements. All this is an aspect of yourself. You've become a queen. Yes, absolutely. Well, all you need to do is let go of that. Because when you let go of that, just let it go, all those pests in your life, they won't be able to pull on you any longer. Because you said, oh yeah, you want that, you have it. You want to do this, well, you go ahead and do it. You want to take this off me, well, you go ahead and you have it. You have it. I don't need it. All you need is yourself now, because in the years to come, you'll be able to sit on that throne, which is your right, as the one who's been through the princess stage, the fighter stage, the mother stage, and now should be crowned with the crown of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And if this comes out of your soul in the next few years, and it should start. You should find that there's a transition period between about the age of 58 and 67. That's a transition period when you move into the wisdom phase. And then, because you're sitting on a throne and you can see further when you're sitting on a throne, everything in life will gradually, but suddenly, fall into place, make sense. You'll see the pattern, and you will be able to give from the inner wisdom that you have, and you'll be able to serve, because the Queen really serves the people. You'll be able to serve those souls who come to you, who also need to be healed, who wounded need to be tended to, who in distress need to be comforted, and who in crisis need to be reminded that this too shall pass. And when you combine the wisdom with the healing, then you will have achieved purpose in this incarnation, and that will be a great purpose. So shall it be.